You do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor, neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You and Me and Somebody. I'm Brandon Weatherby. I'm the host. Thanks. Guys, I've got something I really want to get off my chest. I was on the bus the other day, and some dude smelled really bad, and I wanted to kill him. Mr. Rogers is God. Kanye West is Jesus. Esmeralda?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, that's great.
Right, great. We've got a wonderful show. Again, I'm Brandon Weatherby. I'm your host. We've got some wonderful guests. We've got this Renee character. I forgot her last name because it's not important.
Hey.
Brandon?
See, this is why you can't do bits with people that don't know how to host shows. This is how you turn the music off, number one. Kevin, what are you doing up here?
I'm hosting the show.
No one said you can host the show, Kevin.
But you went to Washington, D.C.
And then I took a bus that flies in the air, and I'm here now to do the show.
Well, I was led to believe that once you were gone, I could host the show.
No one ever said that. And hey, Merle, what? You didn't notice a difference between the two of us?
What? You all look the same.
All right. Okay. Merle's a racist, everybody. So, Kevin, what do you do? Why do you want to do this show?
Well, Brandon, I want to do the show because, you know, my life is kind of in the shitter.
Well, that's not good.
But ever since I started to become you, everything has turned around for me.
Really? What has turned around
for
you?
Yeah, I got a new apartment.
That's good.
And I got a lot of cool stuff
in my new
apartment.
What kind of stuff did you get?
I got a foosball table. It's a single-player table.
Okay.
It's really great. I also got a Laserdisc player and some exercise tapes.
Laserdiscs cost a lot of money. They don't even make Laserdiscs anymore. That had to cost you like a grand
or
something.
They don't?
No, they don't.
I paid a lot for it.
How are you affording the Laserdisc players?
Well, I don't have the money yet, but I figured since I'm the host...
Yeah?
I'm going to start getting a paycheck, right?
You've been misinformed. No one's ever said that. We've never made a dime here, sir.
Oh, Jesus.
We do this for the love of the game.
Oh, fuck.
And the movie, The Love of the Game.
That's not a good movie.
It's the best movie. This
anyway,
is a tribute show to the movie, The Love of
Brandon,
the Game.
Brandon, I made a decision. Uh-huh. I'm going to let you host the show.
Oh, thanks for letting me host my own show.
Yeah,
I appreciate
welcome.
That.
You're welcome. But, Brandon, one thing before I go.
What?
If any girls come up to you and ask you for money about...
Mm-hmm.
Doctor's visits?
Yeah.
Just deny it, all right? You can't prove a thing.
You can't even... You're not even kind enough to pay for your own abortions. You're giving my name out there?
Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, buddy. Kevin McGuire, everybody. He's an awful human being. Get off the stage. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is You, Me, Them, Everybody. Thanks for coming. I did move to D.C. recently. And I live there now, and I got a boo from that. That's really nice. DC's okay. There's nothing awful about it. There's nothing great about it. It's probably better than, like, Waukegan. But I don't know, because in Waukegan, I'm sure that they drink a lot more whiskey than they do in DC. DC has happy hours. Chicago doesn't have happy hours. I used to wish that Chicago had happy hours. Now I don't. Everyone is really drunk at between the hours of 5 to 7 p.m. on shitty beer. And that's not what I like to do. I like to drink whiskey from the hours of like midnight to 4 a.m. So in the morning, I don't remember the first 4 hours of the morning. Then the process repeats. That's the kind of like the drinking I like to do. And no one in D.C. chain smokes cigarettes. They're all worried about their future and who you know. And they don't make eye contact. And I just want to chain smoke and drink whiskey and hang out with people that don't wear fucking white undershirts every single day of the year. I don't understand that. In Chicago, we are so much more fashionable. Yes, we're overweight. But that's okay. And I missed that, and now I'm looking for work. I moved to D.C. without a job, which was an awful idea, and I have a Twitter account, and I use it for this show, and if you follow me on Twitter, I'm sure all of you follow me on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you will know that I like to say very lewd things, and that's the kind of thing I like to do. I like to talk about murder and fucking, you know, the things that make the world go around. And I can't do that when I'm looking for a job. I'm applying for these jobs to teach kids to read. And I realize my most recent Twitter feed is, the show's tonight. I'm going to suck and fuck the shit out of that. And I realized I've lost jobs that I didn't have because I like to say things like, I want to suck and fuck abstract things. And that's not good. And it's Thanksgiving. It's the Thanksgiving holiday, and we're all here, and we're all going to complain about our loved ones or not loved ones. And I realize all we're trying to do every single day of the year, we're all just trying our best not to stab everyone and blame our parents. So that's what this show is going to be tonight. This show tonight, we're not going to talk about stabbing anyone, and we're not going to blame our parents. We're going to have a very fine time together. We have Plastic Crime Wave, a.k.a. Steve Krakow. I shouldn't have said a.k.a. Steve Krakow is his name. A.k.a. is the other one. We have the comedy from Renee Schultz, and we have John Williams Swing Group. Esmeralda is the co-host. Jeremy is the piano player. Thanks for coming, everybody. Please put your hands together for Jeremy Tromberg. Thanks, Jeremy. Merle, how are you?
I'm good, Kevin.
Really?
Because I can't tell them apart. No?
All right. I like when you explain jokes.
Because if no one laughs, then I hope in the explanation it'll hit them.
The premise of that joke...
And or they'll just pity laugh.
Yeah, we're used to that. The premise of the joke is all co-hosts are retarded. And you are, so that's nice.
Oh, I thought it was racist.
You're also racist.
I'm racist and retarded.
Well, that's because you come from morning radio.
Great.
Merle used to work with Johnny B. So that was cool. Really? You're clapping for Johnny B and you drink at this bar? Okay. What are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk about a study was done. This was in England that binge drinking are making teen girls more aggressive. And it just made me think I need to go to my people.
English people?
Yep, the English and their aggressive binge drinking girls.
Aggressive in sexually aggressive?
Fighting.
That's just not
murdering.
Fun. Murdering. No, not really. That's the kind of aggression you want?
Well, what other is there?
Well, sexually aggressive, that's fun.
I'm sure that's part of the fighting and the murdering. It's in there somewhere. No?
Nope.
All right. Just what else me, do we I get? Guess.
Just you. What else do we got?
There's also a study done that clean people will make you sick.
Clean people will make you sick.
So spit in everyone's faces.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Clean people will make you sick, or if you're clean, you're more likely to get sick.
Well, both ways.
Those are different things.
No, if you're clean,
yeah,
you're usually using all those handy wipes and those liquids. What are they called?
Alcohol.
The alcohol liquid and all that.
The alcohol liquid.
And it's making the germs stronger. So then the germs get stronger, and then you can't fight them on, then you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you will probably cough blood on someone and then make them sick.
What?
That's what happens. That's
you
get sick.
When was the last time you've been to
cough
a doctor?
Blood on you.
Where are you? When was the last time you were at an...
I live in the movie Outbreak.
Oh, okay.
That's where I live. So where people just spew blood and monkeys bite you.
Have you ever seen a monkey up close?
Yes.
What happened?
Oh, I knew a poker-playing chimp.
You knew a poker-playing chimp, personally. What was his name?
Well, it was... Oh, I can't remember its name, but it played poker.
Did it do well?
I think so. They were trying... I remember there's this whole thing where they were trying to get the chimp to... because it had retired from really being on the circuit.
Oh, okay.
And then they did this whole fundraiser where you could play with the chimp. So then all that money would go towards its retirement. I think it just, like, slapped the table. And
so it was just a chimp in a chair with cards in front of it.
Yeah. It was a bad better, I guess, because it just kept saying, hit me. Which I don't even think you're supposed to do that in poker.
That's not how poker works, really.
I don't know.
Do you know how to play poker?
I didn't make that much money.
Do you know how to play poker?
No, I don't.
You want to play poker?
No.
All right. Do you know any rich friends that don't know how to play poker?
I don't know any rich people.
Yeah, what's your problem? Why aren't you... You're the co-host. You're supposed to just bring in rich people every night.
Is that how this works?
Yeah.
And then we can do seminars.
I don't want seminars.
What are those called?
I don't...
Where you trap people in a room and then you make them listen to your spiel?
That's what the talk show is.
Talk shows. That's what it is.
I'm going to get real depressing right now. The guy behind me, Jeremy, recently lost his dog. Not like lost it, the dog died. So that's sad. And when your dog died, I bought you the VHS tape of All Dogs Go to Heaven.
I know, and I forgot it. I was going to give it to him as like a, this made me feel better.
So if anybody has any ideas for what we can do for Jeremy, let me know at the end of the night and we will do those things for Jeremy. So if Jeremy wants to suck or fuck something, let's make that happen for Jeremy. He lost his dog, ladies and gentlemen. We have to make this better. On a brighter note, our first guest...
is something that I've been reading, kind of reading, if you want to describe it as reading, in the Chicago Reader for many, many years. He does a great, I don't know if it's a strip. I don't think it's a strip.
It's a square.
It's
it's one large square.
It's a square. He does a large square in the Chicago Reader.
I don't know what that's called.
The Secret History of Chicago Music. He's also in a lot of bands. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Steve Krakow. Steve was here. Here you go. That's the mic.
Yeah.
All right. Steve was here.
It's a rectangle.
It's a rectangle.
Oh, it's
rectangle.
A rectangle. Okay. Which is even longer, I guess.
Yeah.
Steve was here a few months ago for a presentation on the Secret History of Chicago Music, kind of. And I learned a little, but I want to learn a lot from you tonight. Why did you start doing that strip? Or is it a strip? What should I say? Rectangle?
For lack of a better term, I call it an info strip. Combining the informative aspect with the comic strip aspect. Because it's all hand-drawn. Mm-hmm. I write up a band, draw their picture. Some people think it looks like a trading card.
It does look like a trading card. Have you been pitched that yet?
It kind of grew out of these trading cards that I was doing. I do a magazine called Galactic Zoo Dossier, and I have damaged guitar god trading cards. Basically anyone who ever lost it playing guitar and had a unique style. And I sort of wanted to do something like that, but not have it focus on guitar players and have it more Chicago or whatever. So it was a similar format.
When did you start it?
The strip itself, I think, started in 2004.
And it's every other week?
Every other week.
So if it's 2004, it's 6 years, 3 years, you've done 150-something strips.
I haven't counted in a while, but roughly, yeah.
Are you running out of bands or artists?
No.
What makes you want to do this?
I mean, call it obsession, call it enthusiasm, call it being a historian, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I guess I've always been interested in music history, and especially Chi-Town, Chicago.
Are you from Chicago?
I am from Chicago.
Where'd you grow up?
I actually grew up on the mean streets of Hoffman Estates. Been there? It's rough.
Yeah, I've been there.
Before that, a little time in Des Plaines, been in the city proper.
Yeah.
For 15 years.
But neither of which are music meccas. No one's going to Hoffman Estates.
You keep digging, and there was a really cool music studio in Hoffman Estates.
Really?
That recorded a lot of experimental type music. You know, which you wouldn't think would go on in Hoffman Estates.
No, you don't.
I live next door to the Brown's Chicken Murderer in Hoffman Estates.
Did you really? Were you still living there when that happened?
Not when they busted him, but I am.
When the actual murder happened.
No, you know what? We moved like 6 months before then to the other side of Hoffman Estates.
Okay.
But we lived in that house for 10 years. And
was it good chicken?
Yeah, was it good chicken?
Go,
you know, I don't know if I ever went to that Brown's Chicken.
It
was kind of in a parking lot in a mini mall or something. Not really somewhere you'd want to hang
out.
Where
do you like to get your fried chicken?
You're going to hate to hear this, but I'm a vegetarian, so
where,
I don't
when you
for
were
it
a real man, where did you like to get your fried chicken?
Ah, back in those chest-beating days. I think we had some Browns in our day.
Yeah, you did.
KFC, never. That was very good. Very low on the
totem
pole.
So you're not insane. That's good to know.
Yeah, no, we didn't really go there. Mom had some nice dishes. Chicken in the wok, delicious. Have fond memories. A little pineapple in there.
If she... Why don't you eat meat anymore?
It was a combination of factors. Working in a cafeteria and seeing how they prepared it at 6 a.m.
What cafeteria did you work in?
Oh, the U of I in Champaign-Urbana cafeteria.
How was U of I?
How was it?
Yeah.
Well,
moderate?
It was a weird time. It was the early 90s and things were just turning from classic rock to alternative.
Oh, yeah.
And something was in the air. And, I mean, I had a good time. The freaks sort of stuck together. It wasn't yet cool.
What did you major in?
Painting.
So you kind of use that. You're one of the few art majors that use your degree.
I never paint. I hate painting.
Well, you draw.
I draw, and I resented. We had to do tons of figure drawing and still lifes. I had a couple old fogies that ran us through the grinder of, like, everyone else was going outside and drawing creative things and stuff. We were sitting there drawing, you know, the bust of the dude with the flowers. And I think it kind of helped.
Yeah, drawing the bust of
the dude. The life models.
Any of them attractive?
I remember bragging that we were going to do life models and, like, yeah, it's going to be a chick. And then it was the lady. She must have been like 70-something.
Yeah.
Everything was sagging everywhere. She was a large woman. That was my first experience. I was like, wow.
Did she smile, though?
Did her smile turn the world on? It's not really cool to smile when you're doing that. I've seen a few shudder and shake because cruel professors would be like, okay, stand on one leg for half an hour. And they'd be like shaking.
Well, that's because the professor loves Captain Morgan ads.
I think those are just cruel.
No, I agree. Why do you do this? This seems like a labor of love. Is it a labor of love?
Some have described it as a labor of love.
How would you describe it?
I think it is because, you know, you do have to sort of make it, you know, as we said, we've hit 150 strips. Mm-hmm. Most towns, you know, I looked into doing this for other towns, and there's like, I would hit a wall within like a year, you know, so I do have to keep digging, and I'm constantly looking.
So you don't have like a
stuff.
Giant database of like artists you're going to do?
If you call half a sheet of paper,
that's a giant database
with all kinds of names written down on it. Yeah.
What's your favorite type of music? Because you play music as well.
Right. What I play and what I like to research are probably all different.
Well, let's
things.
Talk about those different things, sir.
It's hard to pick. I always say as long as it's good. I mean, I think the best jazz, the best 60s psychedelic music, the best experimental music, it can all move me in similar ways. I guess if I had to pick one, I guess the late 60s sort of psychedelic music. But
do you find that when you're drawing and researching a certain act, your music turns into that? It will play into how you actually play guitar?
No.
Never?
I'm not. I've purposely maybe kept myself unskilled enough that I can't just be like, oh, I'm doing a metal band this week. I'm going to throw some insane arpeggios in there. I can't do it. You know, it's not possible.
No, but like if you're doing, like you wrote a Bo Diddley obituary, like does that come into play? Like you're going to go even more basic and stuff like that?
I don't think so. I hate to say it. I don't think it makes a difference. I mean, one of the first songs I ever did with the band Plastic Crawmy Sound, we ripped off the Bo Diddley beat to start with, you know, over a decade ago. And then I did that strip when he died in 2002?
No.
5?
It was more recent than that.
Yeah, it was pretty recent.
Yeah.
What's the latest band that you've
That's
done?
A good question. How Thank late you. Do I go? What's yeah, historical?
Yeah, like how far?
I think the latest I've gone is late 80s. Okay. A band that made it to the late 80s, but maybe they had to have started by the early 80s.
I could have swore you did somebody that was having a benefit or something, and she does open mics at the Gallery Cabaret.
CJ.
This was about a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, she was currently going, but she had been doing music for like 30 years or something like that. But I covered, you know, some metal bands that started up in the early 80s or new wave bands that started up in the early 80s. But I don't know where to draw the line. Where will I draw the line?
You tell us.
It's 2010.
You don't have to.
It's so weird. I mean, I'm pondering the 90s. I'm pondering my friends' bands that didn't get any attention. Maybe when I start getting more desperate. But I don't think I will.
Have your friends asked you to draw them or do one for them?
Yeah. I mean, people have straight up. I mean, I get all kinds of weird solicitations from non-friends, and then sometimes friends. I did a flyer for the band Loose Dudes, and they're like, we want to be the band. Write up a description. It's going to be our flyer. And I was like, cool. Let's do it.
You got paid, right?
And I got paid.
That's right. How do you get paid working in music? I can't figure that out quite yet.
Yeah, me either. I mean, I'd say I get paid more for illustration than I ever have for music. Doing posters and... Yeah.
Do you still like to play?
Yeah. I I feel like it's something I gotta do. It's not even a matter of whether I like it or not. It's not.
Do you always dress well?
I mean, hanging around the house, you know, I'll throw a t-shirt on.
You don't wear, like, I could just imagine you in satin at all times at home, and then when you go on, it's like velour.
It was always scarves and, like, rings and everything. I feel like I've toned it down.
Yeah, you have.
I was pretty...
How do you maintain your facial hair? For the listener at home, it's a mutton chop down to...
I believe it's actually called a gaucho.
It's a gaucho.
When you attach the mustache to the burn.
But there's no beard.
No, beards are weird.
Oh, yeah, beards are weird, not what you have. That's very normal. You see that every day. All the hipsters have the grouchos.
I mean, in a way, it's the most low-maintenance thing of all, because all you got to do is shave this and like this. That's it.
No, this is low-maintenance. Me. This mug is very low-maintenance.
Yeah.
Not aging well, sir.
See, I don't think it... When you have too much scraggle on the neck and stuff like you got there...
It just looks like pubes.
It just doesn't feel good, like, when you're sleeping. It kind of like...
Nothing on my face feels good, man. That's why I do this talk show. What's next? What's the ultimate goal? If you could do this weekly, would you do it weekly? If you could do it daily, would you do it
daily? No. I think we're at a good pace.
Okay. What about the music? Would you want a tour? Like, 300 dates a year?
No. I mean, I like my home and my own... bathroom and stuff.
So if you were rich enough to transport your bathroom everywhere, you would be a troubadour.
If I could have the Neil Young tour bus.
Yeah.
He's got a gym in there. He actually tours with like three. He's got one that's just the gym. And then he's got like another
one. It doesn't
one.
Show.
No. Mr. Young. He's looking pretty burly, actually. No.
I love Neil Young, but come on, man.
Can you picture him on the parallel bars? I don't know if I can.
He's a gymnast now?
He supposedly, I got from a good source that he
Who's your sourced?
His someone who managed one of his openers recently.
So your source is shit.
I think it's a good source. He got to see. He described the entire like truck that basically or like van that had his gym in it.
I think Neil Young just goes into that place and then just lies around and then it's like, yeah, like you just hear him outside. He just makes noises.
Making a show. It's very possible. It was for the solo tour, too, and he's brought like three pianos with him. Pretty crazy. You would think solo would mean stripped down, but
no,
it didn't.
No, the more... Do you ever play Cal's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, in Cal's, the back of Cal's, they have the What Would Neil Young banner on the wall. So whenever you look up and you're playing, you see What Would Neil Young Do? And I've talked about this before. It's the best advice you can give any musician.
Well, in the 80s, he supported Reagan.
Yeah, so? And then he changed his tune. He had, during the, I think it was like the 2007 tour with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, they sold like flip-flops of Bush's face on him or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He stuck it to him with flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
He was a very important man. Steve's got to get out of here. He's got to go to the Empty Bottle and make some money.
I guess so.
But we're going to end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. It's an awful book. Steve, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
Let's go 247.
247. You're a very calm man, aren't you?
I don't know.
Yep, that you're calm.
All right.
Are you afraid there will be a nuclear war? If so, do you have any ideas about how to keep it from happening? You know what? I bet Neil Young does.
He probably. What would Neil Young do? I used to always sort of look forward to World War III, a.k.a. nuclear war, in a sort of post-apocalyptic future world where people are like fighting over gasoline and wearing an old football helmet and weird pieces of, you know, what they found from the past is their armor.
So it's
armor.
Pretty much like 90% of the people you hang out with.
I guess so. I want like Mohawks, guys with names like Toe Cutter.
Toe Cutter? I like to think that Toe Cutter just hates women. Yeah. And cuts off camel toes.
Mad Max.
Because he's crazy. Toe Cutter's crazy.
He's crazy. He's totally crazy.
So you don't want to prevent a nuclear war?
I don't. I mean,
just for the fashion alone, it's worth having.
I think humanity's best hope might be kind of starting over and or... just kind of wiping it clean.
You know, you're part of that wiping it clean, right?
I'm trying.
So Steve has a death wish. Steve, we have a gift for you. We have gifts for all of our guests.
Where did it go?
You had it as
no,
co-host.
I seriously, this. It, I don't know if you did this on
I
purpose.
I did not do this on purpose.
But we were supposed to give you a book by Abby Hoffman called what, Brandon?
Steal this book.
Did someone literally just take it?
Yeah. Oh.
I have a copy already.
It's like,
it's
people
cool.
are clever. They stole it.
And I promised Steve a cookie for doing the show. He did. So here's a cookie my mother
Is there
made.
Any meat in these cookies?
It's a meat and potatoes cookie. Mm. It's full of veal. No,
ooh,
it's pumpkin.
It's gooey.
It's pumpkin and white chocolate chip. And it's made with sadness and depression.
Nice.
So enjoy that.
By your loving mom. Oh, I don't have that cover of it, actually.
People,
I really do have a copy.
No, I don't. Just give it to somebody else, which is the exact opposite of stealing. Gift right. this book. By
I'll
Abby
leave it somewhere where someone could steal it.
Abby Hoffman for the holidays. People can see your stuff every other week in the Reader. They could yes. also hear you on is it WGN?
Yeah, every time the strip runs, we do a strip. Now it's going to be that Friday at 11:30.
That Friday at 11:30 a.m. or p.m.?
P.m.
See, most people think a.m.
Yeah, it's true. It's
WGN. I'm glad I clarified. It'd be great if that was in the middle of conservative talk radio.
We did broadcast Lost last Sunday at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Playing like a gothy new wave band called Algebra Suicide, which I thought was kind of fun.
That's pretty cool.
You know, the football guys were kind of like, what the hell?
They probably thought like Toe Cutter. That's a callback, Steve. You're also in Plastic Crime Wave Sound. Are you Plastic Crime Wave Sound?
I am Plastic Crime Wave. The band is Plastic Crime Wave Sounds.
Yeah, so when is Plastic Crime Wave Sounds next gig?
When are we playing?
You know you're in the band, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we're doing an in-store at Saki.
Saki's a new record store Logan Square on Fullerton. It's pretty far west, but it's a great store.
December 12th. And then I think we're playing The Hideout January 21st.
Those are both great places to see you. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thanks
Ladies
for having
gentlemen,
me.
Please put your hands together for Steve Krakow. Jeremy Tromberg, take it away. Jeremy Tromberg, everybody. All right. Our next guest is one of my favorite stand-up comedians.
Didn't you go to school?
Nope. I didn't go to school. I was also hoping for a nuclear fallout, and I just didn't put time into education. Anyways, this next person did put time into education. I thought she was funny before I knew she was a stand-up. Then I saw her as a stand-up, and I was even delighted to see her as a stand-up. That didn't make sense. She does riot comedy every Thursday night at Chicago Joe's down the street. It's a great club. It's a great venue. I love her. Please put your hands together for Renee Schultz, everybody. Renee Schultz.
Thank you. It's weird you guys are like right back here, standing behind me.
Yep.
Tell me how it looks from behind.
Good.
So far, so good. Hi, everyone. How about this weather? Yay. It's raining outside. It's really gross. I love summertime, but I do love the fall because I get to wear awesome fall outfits. Like last week, I got to bust out my this awesome new fashion poncho that I got. And I was wearing my fashion poncho, and my girlfriend was like, Renee, what is the difference between a fashion poncho and a traditional Mexican poncho? And I almost said something really racially inappropriate. And then instead I said $100. Which is also still kind of racially inappropriate. Fall is one of my favorite seasons because my favorite holidays in the fall, that's Halloween. I love Halloween. I get dressed up in like real spooky costumes. But last year I did my first I thought it was kind of a sexy costume. I went as Princess Leia for Halloween, and I was thinking like, yeah, I'm going to hit on nerds for Halloween. This is going to be great. Except it turns out that like all guys love Princess Leia. Like I walked into a bar and there's this like beefcake of a guy like chatting up some girls dressed up as like sexy ninjas. And I just walked up to him and I just waved my hand and I was like, these are not the sluts you're looking for. And he totally went home with me. Happy Halloween! Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah, I love when that happens. I texted this dude last week for my job. I texted him. I said, I'm in a real pickle, only I accidentally texted, I'm on a real pickle. I think he thinks we're going steady. I wish that was the most embarrassing thing that had ever happened to me, but it's not. Embarrassing things happen to me all the time. One of my favorite ones happened when I was like 15. I was shopping at a local grocery store with my dad, and I made the mistake of pointing out some girls I recognized from my high school, and so he went to like embarrass me immediately. He turned and grabbed a box off the shelf and was like waving it around, and at the top of his lungs he yelled, "Renee, you need any more of these tampons?" And I got so embarrassed, I wanted to die. But instead, I was like, no, I'm going to get him back. So I grabbed a box off the shelf, too, and I was like, "No, Dad, do you need any more of this anal itch cream?" And I felt awesome, except that this is what he did next. He goes, "Only if you put it on for me again." My dad is a real classy guy. I was not very popular in my high school. That's fine, because I'm popular now. Thank you. Yeah. I get to do lots of fun shows all around the city of Chicago. One of my favorite shows to do is this place. It's called Kinky Comedy, and they have stand-up there, but they also give away free sex toys. And when I did this show last, I won like a real sexy whip, and then I won the grand prize, which was a vibrator that you plug into your iPhone. So you can vibe yourself to your favorite songs. So it's just like you're just playing some Jay-Z, having a good time, till your phone rings and it's your dad and you're like, "Hi, I can't really talk right now. I'm very busy vibing myself with my iPhone." Weird. My best friend is actually a guy, which I don't mind because I get to get all the like guy secrets. Like, I get to hear all the dish on girls that he thinks are fine and not fine. If he sees a girl he likes, he'll be like, "Oh, man, she is so fine. I want to stick it to her." So then when I see dudes, I do the same thing. I'm like, "Man, he's cute. I would totally stick it to him." And he's like, girl, you cannot actually stick it to anybody. In that situation, you're going to get stuck to you. You're the stuckie in that situation. And I was like, okay, you're right. That's true. And then I started thinking about it, and guys get all these awesome terms. Like, guys get to, like, lay pipe. Like, nail people. That sounds fun and cool. But literally, girls do not get to do those things. And so I went about, I made a couple lady-specific sex terms up. And these are terms that you ladies can take out into your everyday lives and use when you see a fine fellow. The first option I came up with is sheathing. It's where you keep your sword. You might, yeah. So that's my first one. The second option, and this is maybe this is too Chicago specific, but it's bunnin', like a hot dog in a bun. That's my dad's favorite. There's a new guy at your office. You might want to bun him. Yeah. And then my favorite option was this last one, and it's because it actually, in my head, the word sounds like something a guy would say, and that is grip. Like, I would grip that. A dude could be grippable. So I was so excited, I went back to Noah, and I was like, "Oh my God, Noah, you're not going to believe it. I've got this best term." And I was like, "It's grip, and it's great." And he's like, "Renee," he's like, "that's great, except for I don't think a girl would actually talk like that. I think a girl would use the term grip incorrectly. She'd be like, I met the nicest guy. I want to grip him all the way down the aisle." Or like, "I want to grip him until a baby falls out." Honestly, if things are falling out, you're probably not gripping correctly. You should probably do some of those Kegel exercises for your lady parts. They're on the inside. I don't know what you guys ate for dinner tonight, but man, I had the silliest meal. I actually started my day out pretty bad, too. I had like a handful of Hershey's Kisses for breakfast, and then throughout the day today, I managed to eat like a bunch of corn chips. I had a soft pretzel. I had like half a bologna sandwich, and then for dinner, I ate 3 chicken wings and a slice of pizza. And then it dawned on me that I do this thing where all I want to eat is kid food. And then I was like, I think kid food is going to keep me looking young forever. Like zebra cakes and SpaghettiOs or some kind of weird fountain of youth. The thing is, it's totally working, you guys, because I am 47 years old. Thank you. And I still haven't gotten my period. I just fist bumped in the air, people on the internet. And it went real well. Wait, have you guys ever had sex so good you think you're about to travel through time? Like, shit starts smoking and sparking. I like to pull back at, like, 1.19 gigawatts because I do not have time to get back from 1955. I want to tag that joke with, that's the power of love. And so I did. Thank you. I keep getting hit on all the time, and I told my girlfriend, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, I keep getting hit on. Like, I can't even walk down the street without guys asking for my phone number. And then I started, and I figured it out. I think I figured it out. I've been doing two things lately, and that one of them is just, like, I just look fine all the time. Like, I always look great. I've got great hair, and I have great outfits and awesome boots. So that's part one. Really easy. And then part two, this is a little harder, ladies. You just have to feel like shit inside. For some reason, it's like Spanish Fly. I don't know. Guys just can't get enough of it. Yay. I haven't been taking compliments from guys lately. I just feel like every time a guy gives me a compliment that he's just trying to have sex with me. So whenever a guy's like, oh, great job, that was really funny, I'm just like, whatever, whatever. And like, I think it was true the other day, this guy was like, oh man, Renee, I'm so proud of you, you're doing so great. And I was like, duh, Dad, I know, I understand what you're after, and it's creepy. Knock it off. It's weird. I've been doing this awesome thing at my office where I've been practicing silently shitting. I've been doing a couple of things. Because, like, the receptionist's desk is right by the bathroom. So I do a couple of things. One is I like to make a nest inside of the toilet. Like, I just, like, put a bunch of toilet paper in there so there's, like, a proper landing pad. And I just take a little dump on it so it doesn't make any noise. But that's not very environmentally sound. So the other one I've been doing is just, it's just, like, straight control. Like, I just want the craft to enter the water perfectly. Like, a perpendicular angle, like, awesomely. What I'm trying to say is I want to have absolutely no splash. I want to be like the Greg Louganis of crapping. I want it to be like tens across the board, gold medal for Renee, and her silent shitting. All right, I'm going to tell you one more thing. And it's, I don't know if you guys know this, but girls do this thing where they don't actually sit on toilet seats. They do this thing where they kind of like hover over it a little bit so your butt doesn't actually touch the seat. And when I moved to the city, I didn't know that girls did that. And so my friend like yelled at me. She's like, oh God, Renee, don't ever sit on toilet seats. It's disgusting. People pee on there. All kinds of stuff is on there. And I was like, okay, I won't. But I have a question for you. How do you go number two? How do you take a dump? And that's when she said to me, duh, Renee, I wrap my hands in toilet paper. I put them on the seat. I hold myself up and I take a crap like that, which is what, like 1,000 times more disgusting than actually sitting on it? Plus, every time she goes to the bathroom, she has to make herself this awesome pair of shit mittens. Last time I told that joke, someone was like, you should sell those after the show. I would buy a pair. Thank you, guys have been awesome, Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi, Brandon.
I like your origin story of comedy. Do you want to tell it? Why you started doing stand-up?
Because I used to go to a lot of stand-up shows. I was unemployed for 4 months, and I saw a bunch of comedy because it was like cheap and I could see it in the city. And I went to the Lakeshore Theater, and I saw a couple shows there. And I saw somebody performing and a couple of times, and they did the same set. And I didn't think they were that funny. And I was like, I'm funnier than that person. I could do stand-up comedy. And so I started doing it.
Do you think it's easy?
No, it's like one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
Are you glad you're doing it?
I love it more than anything in the world.
Has it ruined relationships, both friend and other?
Yes.
And you're still glad you do it?
Yes.
You're insane. Why are comics insane? Answer me that.
Well, I think comedians are people that don't get enough attention in their regular lives, and they just need to get it from, like, maybe they didn't get enough attention as kids, and they need it as adults, so, of course, they're all broken human beings.
Are any good stand-ups not broken human beings?
That you know, personally? Personally, yes. Yeah, Sean Flannery's a great guy. He's got, like, a wife and a kid, and he's, like, an awesome, cool dude.
All right, you're right.
Mike Palisak's pretty, like, he seems to have a normal, he has a regular car and, like, normal clothes.
But he still lives at his parents' house.
But he travels all over the U.S. I mean, that just makes fiscal sense.
I don't like that. You do riot comedy.
I do Riot Comedy.
You are one of three producers of Riot Comedy. How did Riot Comedy start?
When I started doing stand-up, like, it's been like almost 2 years now, you start by going to open mics and just trying weird stuff out on stage. And when you're a girl, there's not a ton of other girls. And so I actually saw Lisa Traeger performing at Shuba's. And after she got off stage, I was like, hi, I thought you were really funny. And I bought her a drink. And then she got a job at, she was actually going on a job interview the next day. And I was like, I have a feeling you're going to get this job. And the job was at a restaurant called Chicago Joe's. And then once she started it, she asked if she could start a show there and did.
Well, you have a third member. How does she play into this?
Well, she was the same thing. We all did open mics together, and we all became fast lady friends and just carpooled and, like, girl chatted all the time until we had a show. That's it.
That sounds like the origin of a child soccer team.
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
Play children's soccer.
You're big AYSO supporters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that stands
no.
for? Adult Youth Soccer Organization.
Yes, I'm a huge supporter of those things.
Yeah. Does that make you a better comic, doing your own show?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because you're forced to perform. Like you have a show that you're going to do every couple of... Well, it's good and it's bad. One, it takes up a lot more time.
Mm-hmm.
But two, you're forced to see a lot more stand-up. And you're forced... You always know you have a show every couple of weeks. So you have to try to get new material or, you know... Be fresh.
I think a lot of the people in this room have been to your showcase. I love going to your showcase. It's very nice.
Thanks.
And it's weird because that bar is awful, but you made it good.
Right.
Yeah,
well, it's just a party. We just try to make a party.
It is. I highly, highly recommend it. What's the goal, by the way? What's the ultimate goal for you?
For me?
In terms of comedy.
Oh, my life goal is I'd like to be happy.
Okay, in terms of comedy.
Because
they're mutually never the twain shall meet.
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out. I take some writing classes. I wrote a couple sketches. I made a film here for the Pizza Film Festival. So there's like a lot of different venues for comedy. There's stand up mm-hmm. and there's, you know, sketch writing and writing in general. And yeah, I just want to keep doing comedic things and hopefully find a spot I feel good in.
Sorry. Okay. This is from the Kids Book of Questions by
Gregory. He's mocking your
dreams.
Thanks. No, did you not listen to her entire 8 minutes? I think, okay. She planted the seeds. This is from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Nothing about nuclear war, please. Nothing about nuclear war.
I need you to pick between 1 and 260.
32.
32. Why 32?
It's my lucky number.
Do you like Fox 32?
No.
Do you like Bruce Wolf when he used to be on Fox 32?
He was okay.
Yeah, I like him, though. I like when I talk like that. Nope, I don't either.
I like WGN in the morning, though.
Oh, they're
fun.
They have a good time.
Oh, I love it. Annabella Vall is the best around-town reporter this city has.
What's up? If you agreed to sell your bike to a friend and then someone offered you more money, would you go back on the bargain?
Fuck no.
You're a true good person.
Thank you.
And because of that, we have gifts for you.
Oh, yeah.
We have gifts. Do you take baths?
I do take baths.
This is a boat you can put in the bath with you. And then this little angel M&M will keep you company, and his little wings flap.
That's great.
Is that safe in a bathtub?
It's plastic.
This boat, I'm sure it's safe.
And then do you cook?
Yeah.
There's a Food Network CD.
This is what I just made soup tonight,
works,
you guys.
But...
Look
Whoa.
At this. Oh, I do all these things. You guys know me so
I know.
Well.
I was like, does she cook? Well, she's gonna now.
Yay. Thank you.
You want a cookie?
I'd love a cookie.
We're going to give Renee a cookie. People could go see Renee every single Thursday night, or just hang out with her every single Thursday night at Chicago Joe's, one of the best places to see comedy in the city, but not to drink. Only go there on Thursdays. And she's around town performing all the time, and she's very, very funny.
Oh, my God. This is the wettest cookie I've ever touched.
He licks them beforehand.
I always make women's cookies very wet. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Renee Schultz, everybody. Jeremy Trimark, everybody. Sitting on the stage with me is John Williams.
Hey, Brandon.
Oh, it's nice. Esmeralda, John, Esmeralda.
Hi,
now
John.
You've met.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Probably should have done this before the show.
Nope, it's fun on the fly. So why do you play music, John? Because you're dressed well and you're an adult. Why are you doing this?
Why am I playing music?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's my favorite thing to do. I don't know why.
More than baking cookies.
More than baking cookies. Not more, more than eating cookies.
You want a cookie?
More than baking. I want a cookie.
At the end of the interview. Mm-hmm. I've learned my mistakes
before. I want your wet cookie.
You're an insurance... What?
I said I want your wet cookie.
This is why the bands don't get to talk very long. Really, you're doing sound effects now. My favorite part of this show has been happened weeks ago when someone wrote on the poster in the bathroom, "The guy from Star Wars," pointed to your name. Do you get that a lot? Did you score Star Wars?
I did not score Star Wars.
Why not?
I'm also not the famous classical guitar player, John Williams.
Why not?
Different. Just not that cool, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, come on, buddy. Do you hate yourself?
No. Do you?
Yeah, totally. I do. That's why I do this, to give people cookies so they'll like me. Or just become diabetics. Why do you play? Honestly, like, why have the swing group? I listen,
why
I
that,
enjoy it.
Why that music?
Yeah, why this music?
I don't know. It's good. I'm an instrumentalist, and it's a fun thing to
it
jam
is.
To. It's kind of, I don't know, it's I don't know, a lot of space to solo and noodle, I guess.
When you hear a solo and noodle, you think of jazz, not your music, not your type of music.
This is jazz.
Is it jazz, though?
Swing is an early, the very kind of early,
when I think of jazz, I think of heroin and cocaine
blasting
me in the ears.
That's 50s and 60s jazz.
No, that's now.
Well, that now as well.
That's every week at the Hungry Brain, everybody. Are you glad you're doing this?
Yeah, I love it. It's still my favorite thing to do. I don't know. I'm 40, and I enjoy it more each year.
What do you do for a day job? You don't got to tell me. You could lie if it could get you in trouble.
No, I'm a carpenter.
You're a carpenter?
I'm a carpenter.
You're a real man, and you dress well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you need to come to the live show. Kevin McGuire is taking photos. We're going to totally put this on the Flickr feed. Look, he's the most well-dressed guest we've ever had, I think. No offense, Renee. Best-dressed male guest we've ever had. Holy shit.
Thank you. Can't wear the tie when you do carpentry,
Where
though.
Do you shop?
Thrift stores.
Thrift stores, really? Thrift stores, a lot of time? A lot of time looking for those threads? You ever get threadless t-shirts? I don't see you wearing threadless t-shirts.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. Why carpentry?
I don't know. There's a lot of musicians, artists doing carpentry because it's a gig that you can kind of pick up on the fly and do freelance so you can keep doing the music stuff.
I know I should be asking more questions about you, but now I'm just very interested in carpentry.
Yeah, I build stuff. It's fun.
What do you build?
I don't know. I put in hardwood floors. I hang doors. I put in cabinets, stuff like that.
So you're like a real man.
I guess.
Do you even live in a house or an apartment?
I just bought a house.
Congratulations, buddy.
It's very exciting.
Any rehab work?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you doing it all?
I'm doing it all myself.
Fuck.
Yeah.
See, this is when I meet a man like this, I can't ever imagine why a woman would even look at me when they could be with a man like you. You literally make the world better in audio form and not. Textile
in
form?
Woodworking.
And woodworking. Yes. See, I wish Renee was up here because then she could make a joke about woodworking and we could go full circle. Your dad is a meat inspector. Hey, Renee, who's more of a real man? John or your dad? John is more of a real man than Renee's dad. Will you, like, mentor me? I never had a dad. I think that's the problem. I'm serious. Will you, like,
mentor me?
Want me
to be your dad?
Yeah, not be my dad, but just be like, hey, don't be a fucking dick. Stop drinking. Cut some wood, asshole.
I'll just
shoot
you a text once in a while to keep you honest.
Not a text. You're ruining it. Like, you got to do an old school phone call and not understand one of the receivers or something.
Dial it.
Yeah. Do you have a rotary phone?
Rotary phone. Yeah.
Will you build me a rotary phone?
Out of wood.
Yeah. No, I'm completely serious. I need some guidance. Look at me, man. I'm a fucking wreck. I need you in my life.
You're living in D.C. That's cool. You're moving up.
Oh, yeah, because that's where real men live, D.C. Come on. Help me out, buddy. Where do you live now? Where'd you move?
It's, I believe, the smallest neighborhood in Chicago. I was looking at a map the other day, and it's 4 blocks by 4 blocks, and it's called The Island.
The Island.
Yeah. Somebody know where that is? It's between Roosevelt and 290.
Uh-huh.
And then Austin and, like, then this little manufacturing area.
Roosevelt and 290. So it's near Oak Park?
Yeah, it's near Oak Park, Berwyn, and Cicero. It's very close to all three of them.
I grew up right around there.
Okay.
That's a real... I need to move back there.
Okay.
You're going to play music for us?
Yeah, we got the swing group. We got five of us coming up here.
There's five of you coming up here.
We're gonna fit up on the stage, five of us.
So four of you get one thing, and one of you get the other. And I think since you're the band leader, you get the good gift. So
can I have those?
Just wait.
The cars are four, so when you're bored, you can all race them together.
Okay, how many are there?
There's four, but then someone can play racing music with the xylophone?
Yep, xylophone.
With the toy xylophone.
I think that's for you, John.
Try it out.
So it would be very, like, you'd race, cars going, and then the xylophone would play.
Yeah, very exciting.
With your carpentry, could you make that xylophone sound better? Because it sounds awful.
No, it sounds great.
John, we're going to end this interview like we end every interview, and I remember the book from a question from the Kids' Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. John, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
About 34.
34. Why 34?
34 was Greg Pruitt's number. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan growing up.
No,
in Ohio.
34 was Walter Payton's number.
Well, it was also
That's
Walter
right.
Payton's number. But.
I win. Okay, if you could be as talented as some friend of yours at any one thing, what would you choose?
Wait, say that again, please. I'm sorry.
That's because you're from Cleveland. You don't know how to listen. If you could be as talented as some friend of yours at any one thing, you see what I'm saying? This is an awfully worded book.
That's
what would you choose?
As talented as.
Wait a second. Let's dissect this question. If you could be as talented as some friend of yours at any one thing, what would you choose?
So they're really talented, but it doesn't have to be the thing that they're talented at.
I think it does have to be the thing that they're talented at, not the person. See, like, you are a talented musician and carpenter.
Okay.
I can't say you. I have to pick one of those. That's why the question is insane.
Yeah.
So one thing.
And my brain is spinning right now.
I know.
Yeah.
A lot of options. And keep in mind that this will totally happen, so definitely take your time and don't rush because people aren't waiting for anything. Yeah. Just think about it calmly. It's a very important answer.
Okay.
If you could be as
I'd like to do what Renee does.
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah. I'd like to get up in front of people and just
so
be able to make
you don't
want to
be a real man anymore. You're tired of that. Be a real woman.
I'd start sleeving people. Or wait, no, not sleeving, sheathing. Sheathing.
Sleeving people could be another one, by the way.
Is that a new one?
That's safe sex. See, we're making it a little better. John Williams Swingers will have to play for us. They're going to set up. Jeremy, you ready?
Ready.
Please put your hands together for John Williams, everybody. All right, is everybody ready? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to give you the sound. To give you the sounds. What a dick. It is, ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce you to the wonderful musical stylings of the John Williams Swing Group.
Here's an original song called Seaside.
Thank you.
Brandon, for having us. I think we'll do one more. Till Tom special.
Thank you.
John Williams. Whoa!
Be back.
Yeah, I could be back here. John Williams Swing Group, everybody. That was fantastic. Where can people see you?
Man, I've been really bad about gigging, booking gigs. But 2011 is going to be our year.
Every single night in 2011, you will be able to find the John Williams Swing Group somewhere.
Somewhere.
Okay. Just the you got to see these guys live, because just the gear that they bring is impressive. It's very impressive. Thanks for coming, everybody. If you know anybody in D.C., blackmail them into coming to the show on Thursday. Or not, I get it. It's totally cool. Thanks for coming. We got a great show next month. Next month is Total Lovin'. Emerson Dameron is going to do stand-up. Mike Pritchard from Outer Petter is going to play. And we're going to stream a bunch of short films that most of you have been in. So you should all of you should come to that. That's December 27th. Thanks a lot for coming, everybody. Thanks for all the guests. Thanks to Steve. Thanks to Renee. And have a wonderful evening.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.